Our gospel and sermon lesson today is found in John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. I invite you to follow along on the insert from your bulletin. I read in Jesus' name. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Again, these words of Jesus, "Because I said I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I want to tell you a nasty story. I don't want to tell it to you because it is nasty. I'm just telling you in advance. It's a nasty story. It's in the Bible. It's about a family who was going around sneaking behind each other's backs and stabbing each other in the back over and over again. It's about two parents, Isaac and Rebecca. And they had twin boys, Jacob, the younger, and Esau, the older. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebecca loved Jacob. And throughout their lives, they made it both very clear that they loved that one child. And Esau and Jacob had been fighting against each other their whole lives, even while they were still in Rebecca's womb. They were fighting with each other. And their whole story is one of brother fighting against brother and taking advantage of his brother's needs. And the story finally culminates when Isaac has grown old. And he thinks that he's about to die. His vision has gone. He can't see anymore. And he decides it's time to give his blessing to his son. And he's going to give his blessing to Esau. Well, Rebecca hears about this, and she starts plotting and scheming with Jacob in order to steal Esau's blessing. Isaac had told Esau to go out and kill some of Isaac's favorite food and prepare it for him. Isaac loved the way Esau cooked. But Rebecca decided, "I'm going to prepare a meal just like your father likes, Jacob. Now you go and you find some animal skins, and you put them on your hands because you're not hairy like your brother. And you go and you find some of your brother Esau's clothes and put them on so that you smell like your brother." You see, they planned it down to the smallest detail. And so, with the food prepared, Jacob goes into Isaac's room. And he says, "I'm here, Father, to receive your blessing." And at first, Isaac knows what's going on. He recognizes that it's Jacob's voice that's speaking. But twice, Jacob lies to his father's face and says, "Nope, I'm Esau." And when Isaac, blind as he was, felt Jacob's hands covered in animal fur, and when he smelled the smell of Esau's clothes, Isaac took the bait and he blessed Jacob. Well, when Esau heard about this, he wasn't too happy, of course. He was so enraged, in fact, that he decided he was going to kill Jacob. But Rebekah heard about his plot and told Jacob to flee. Flee to the far north and live with her family, who lived hundreds of miles north. And so Jacob leaves his family with nothing and no one. He journeys as he flees, and the sun goes down, and he comes to a particular spot. And because it was late, he decided to lie down there, and he found a rock, and he used it for a pillow. And he laid there in the darkness, all alone, with thoughts of regrets and a future full of fear. And finally, he falls asleep, and he has a dream. It's a strange dream. In this dream, Jacob sees a ladder. This ladder has its feet on the earth, and this ladder ascends all the way into the heavens. And on that ladder, there are angels ascending and descending, going down and up and down, from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth. And Jacob sees the bridge between the Creator and the creation. And he hears God speak. Now, God had seen everything that Jacob had done. He knew about his lying to his father, his stealing from his brother, his conniving with his mother. God knew about all of those things. And what do you suppose that God would say to poor little wretched Jacob there, lying with a rock for his pillow? You'd probably expect God to say something like, "You little twerp, look at everything that you've done. You're all alone. You've sinned against all of your family. But you sure have gotten what you deserve." That's what we'd maybe expect God to say after something like this. But listen to what God actually says. He says to Jacob, "I'm Yahweh. I'm the God of your grandfather Abraham. I'm the God of your father Isaac. And I'm your God too. I'm with you. And I will bless you. I will give you so many offspring that they will be like the dust of the earth. And in you and in your offspring shall all of the earth be blessed." And God promises, "I will be with you, and I will not leave you until I have done everything that I have promised to do for you." Well, Jacob wakes up from his dream, and he takes that rock that he'd been using as a pillow, he sets it up as a pillar, and he renames that spot. He calls it Bethel. Bethel, which means house of God. That very spot later in Israel's history was the spot where Israel would go to worship as they were taking possession of the promised land, because they knew that when you worshiped at Bethel, when you worshiped at the house of God, that God was there. That ladder and that dream is what Jesus is referring to when he tells Nathanael and the other disciples, because the "you" in here is plural. When he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you all, you will see heaven opened, and you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." You see, Nathanael was already pretty impressed with this Jesus guy, who knew all about him before they'd even met. Nathanael was so impressed, in fact, that when he heard Jesus talking about him being under the fig tree, he was led in faith to confess, "Truly, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." But that's not all that Nathanael is going to get to see. Nathanael and the other disciples will get to see what it looks like when heaven and earth are united. Nathanael and the other disciples will get to see what happens when the bridge between heaven and earth is right in front of them. They will get to see what it looks like when God makes his house on earth. Because in Jesus, heaven and earth are fused together. Nathanael and the disciples did see many great things. Just glance through the book of John. Right after this, they see Jesus turn water into wine. They see Jesus feeding the hungry, making the lame to walk. They even see Jesus raising the dead. But Nathanael and the disciples will see even greater things than those. Nathanael and the other disciples will see and hear Jesus forgive people's sins right in front of them. They will see and hear Jesus give to them his body to eat and his blood to drink. Nathanael and the other disciples will see God allow himself to be delivered over into the hands of evil and wicked men. They will see God die. They will see God's corpse placed into a tomb. And they will see that very body risen from the dead. And not only will they see that very body risen from the dead, they will see Jesus Christ in his human physical body ascend to God in heaven. In Jesus, heaven and earth are united. And you know what? You get to see it too. Even though we don't often see it with our physical eyes, we see it through faith. Because God has united heaven and earth with a ladder. And it's a short ladder. It's a ladder with only one rung. It's the ladder of the cross. Because in the cross, heaven and earth have been united and are once again at peace with each other. You get to see it. You get to see it through faith. When you were baptized, when you take communion, when you hear and receive the absolution, or when you listen to a sermon, you hear the very voice of God speaking to you. Heaven is opened to you, and God comes and visits you. You see, just like Jacob, with all of his treachery, his thieving, and his lying, God knows what you have been doing as well. God knows all of your thoughts. He knows all of your actions. He knows your hatred and your bitterness towards your neighbor and to your brothers and to your sisters. God knows all of your malicious thoughts and intents, and yet God still died for you. He still forgives you. He still promises to be with you wherever you go. And he promises that he will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.